Nice to have a full house, isn't it? Awesome. Right, so this morning at Adventure Plus, we were talking about going on an adventure with God, and what does the adventure of finding God look like? So this morning, I wanted to kind of go back a step and talk about, like we've been talking about, identity, our value and our worth. So, one of the best things about Adventure Plus is that none of you get to have your phones. Do you agree? No? Come on, campers, seriously, do you think it's good that you don't have your phones? Be really honest. Oh, there's a bit of a mix there. I think deep down, most of you think actually that it is a good idea because you realize you've gone a little bit attached. But here's my point, okay? Does anybody have the newest iPhone? Anybody? You have the newest iPhone. What's it called? What is it now? 25 or something? What is it? Sorry? iPhone 17. Okay, now, I'm not going to put you on the spot. iPhone 17, if you bought one brand new in the shop, it'd be worth what? £1,000? £800?
A lot.
Correct. It's worth a lot of money. Now, why were phones invented in the first place?
To contact people and play games.
Do you know what? The first half was absolutely right. Phones were invented to contact people, right? To make phone calls and to receive phone calls. Now, I'm old. Which means, when I was a kid, I remember when I was 16, my dad sat us down and we had a family meeting. And the family meeting was to decide whether or not we should get a family mobile phone. And this was an old school Nokia. It had an aerial that you had to pull out. And this one was state of the art. You could store 25 text messages. Ooh! Now, that phone was worth about £25, I think. Why did I bring that up? What's the difference between the two phones? One of them gives you loads of other applications. You can do all kinds of other things with it. But at its core, what was it created to do? To make phone calls and to receive messages. So actually, it's the same as the phone I had when I was 16. But what makes an iPhone so much more expensive? It's got a little label on the back, hasn't it? With an Apple. It gets its value and its worth because it's made by a company that tricks everybody into thinking this is the best thing ever and you need to have the latest one. Do you see where I'm going? Its value and its worth comes from the people that made it, the people that created it, the people that designed it, the people that produced it. So if in the modern world things get their value because of the badge that they have on them, does that apply to us as well? A couple of verses to think about. Ephesians 1. He chose you before the creation of the world. Interesting. So he had a plan. He had a preconceived plan that he was going to make me. Okay. 2 Corinthians 1, Ephesians 1. He puts his spirit in our hearts as a seal that we are children of God. Ooh, so God's put a stamp on me. Interesting. And then in Psalm 91, he says, I knit you in the mother's womb. So he created me as well. So he thought of me, he planned me before the creation of the world. He put a stamp and a seal in my heart that I belong to him. And then he made me and created me. Does that mean I get my value and my worth from him? I think it does. You see, we spend so much of our life taking our value and our worth based on what people tell us, right? Oh, I think you're great. Oh, I think you're an idiot. Or whatever it might be. The words people say over us, the things that we look online and we say, I don't measure up to that, so I'm not good enough. But God flips it upside down and says, no, I thought about you, I created you, and I've put a stamp on you, so you have value and worth. And that overrides whatever the world tells us. Isn't that really cool? That means that, it doesn't matter if that's the way I am, that's the way God made me. Of course, we can always get better and we can become more like Jesus, can't we? Absolutely. But it doesn't change our value and our worth because God put it in us. All right. I have here a very crisp, brand new, look at that, still folded in the middle, £10 note. Would anybody like to try and win it? All right, come on. Here we go. All right. Just stand there. Here we go. Crisp £10 note. How much is that worth, by the way? £10, right? Okay, here we go. So you can have this £10 note. Wait, I've got to make it stand flat now. But you have to jump over it.
Okay, but I'm going to give you some rules about how you're allowed to jump. It's not staying flat. All right, here we go.
Now, you need to bend down, and you need to hold your toes with your fingers, right? And you're going to jump over it. If you can jump over it without letting go of your toes, you can have it.
Oh,
not even close. Anybody else want to try? Yeah, come on. Right, here we go. So you cannot let go of your toes at any point. Oh. Right, one more. One more. Yeah. Come on. Can you do it? Oh, so close. What a shame. I'll have to keep that then. Oh. What a shame. It's almost as if I knew that nobody would be able to do it. Now, so as we established, right, so this is made by the Treasury, right, the Royal Mint. It has stamps and seals on it that prove that it has value and worth. Yeah, you all agree, right? And I can go to the shop and I can buy things for it, things that are worth £10. Now, what happens if I do this? All right, how much is that worth now? Right. It's still worth £10, isn't it? So why is it that as people, when we feel like that, we don't feel like we're worth what we're worth anymore? Why is it when the world grabs us and screws us up and says, take that, you're not good enough, you're not worth anything? Why is it that when we feel completely discarded and thrown away by the world and said, you're not worth anything, you'll be on the ground, we're going to tread all over you, we're going to treat you like dirt, you're not worth anything? And we believe that, don't we? We take it on board. And yet, if we go what God says in the Bible, he says, no, I made you. You still have ultimate value and worth, regardless of what's happened to you in your life. And that's a really hard truth to hear sometimes. My value and my worth is not dictated to by what's happened to me in my life or how I've been treated or how I feel about myself. There's a higher truth that says, no, I created you. I put a stamp on you. You have value and worth no matter what happens. And there's a really great verse in Isaiah 42:3 where he says, a bruised reed he will not crush. You see, God, if you read through the Bible, God is in the business of fixing broken things, of restoring things back to how they're supposed to be. And we see time and time again in the Bible that God not only fixes broken people, but he uses broken people. And I'm so glad about that because I'm broken. I've been treated like that. And yet the truth of God, of his love, of my value and my worth comes from him. And I know that he can still use me, that I'm still worth £10. Well, hopefully I'm worth more than £10, but you know what I mean. Right, so there's three stories we looked at. We're going to look at them really quickly. You talked about them in your groups. Three cracking stories, okay? First one is the woman at the well. Okay, so just to quickly run through the context, all right? This woman has had quite a life, to the point where she only goes to the well at the hottest time of the day, when she knows nobody else is going to be there. Right? That's the only time she can go. Because you cannot bump into anybody else. Because if she bumps into anybody else, they're going to judge her and they're going to treat her the way I just treated that £10 note. She's not worth anything. And yet Jesus goes and meets her there. This is the key thing to remember. Jesus meets her at her most broken point. At the point where she's the most alone and the most desperate, and Jesus goes and meets her. He goes out of his way to find her, to meet her, to help her. Isn't that crazy? That's so cool. Second story, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He works for the Romans. That's like an Englishman playing for Argentina. He's the worst of the worst. You don't deal with him. He's a thief. He takes money off of us and gives it to the people that are trying to control us and dominate us. We don't want anything to do with him. And yet Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, because I'm going to eat in your house tonight. That's bonkers. That's like Harry Kane walking up to Mbappe and saying, come on, I want to have lunch at your house. You don't go and eat with, you don't go and take a meal with those people. You don't go and show those people that they're valued and loved and cared for. He's the worst. So Jesus goes and finds the woman at the well in her most desperate time of need when she's the most alone. He goes to meet her to try and help her. Jesus then finds the person who everybody despises and hates and says, I'm going to come and eat in your house, and shows him that he's got value and worth. And in the last story is the woman with the issue of bleeding, right? For 12 years, this woman has been ostracized by society. You don't touch this person. You don't hang out near this person. You don't have anything to do with that person. She's an outcast. And yet Jesus stops, and in front of everybody, he says, your faith has healed you, daughter. Imagine the worst of the worst. Worst person you can think of that everybody hates and despises is completely pushed out by all of society. She has no reason to live. She has no use for society. She's sick. She's ill. She's completely broken, unusable, has no value and worth, treated like nothing. And Jesus stands her up in front of everybody and says, you are my daughter. You see, Jesus has this incredible ability that he recognizes how broken we are, how lonely we are, how far away we are from the world. And he reminds us that he created us, and that gives us value and gives us worth. No matter what's happened to us, no matter what we've done, or no matter how we're feeling, he's put his stamp on you, which means you have value. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that